Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G'day and welcome to the Pod Pod, back for another edition of the Holmes Files. As you can tell, it's Holmesy here and I've got another special guest, and I've gone straight to the top for this last edition, most likely before we see some round zero games and we're stuck into the footy season. I've got Selby from Moreira's Magic. Selby, how are you today, mate?
Holmesy, good, mate. Good to be on the Holmesy's Files. I've enjoyed listening to them since, it's almost what... December, the one which old DT Lemon was on, so good to be on.
Yeah, I should probably go back and have a listen to see what's kind of changed since we sat down in December. It was all pretty fresh, and things have kind of evolved a lot over the preseason, and we're starting to see some footy now, which is really good. And I feel like our teams they're shaping up a little bit. We're going to get to it in terms of the forward line and even the defensive line that's looking to be a bit tricky at the moment, but. You've been doing all your work at Moreira's Magic, and we know that you just play Supercoach now, but how are you where have you been putting your time this preseason? You're playing Supercoach, but with the 40 trades this year, it's almost, pretty similar to AF in terms of how you set your team up. How are you looking this preseason so far?
Yeah, building my Supercoach team, and I like the limited trades of Supercoach. I think it throws another element, because I think we all know now, with AF, that you want to be getting value out of all your players, regardless if they're your M1 or R1, you want to hope to get value. Whereas Supercoach, with these limited trades, when there was, I think it was before COVID, they had 30 limited trades. So assuming you're going to get 10 forced trades for the year, that's 20 trades for upgrading, which one down, one up means that you've only got 10 spots on your field you can upgrade. So you want to start 12 best 22 players or keepers. So that's where that whole metric came. So that's now gone to 40. So in terms of how many keepers you can start, could go down to as little as 6 or 7. So very similar now, the two of them. Mind you, I have run out of trades the last 2 years, so those extra 4 trades we're going to get this year in Supercoach should help. Where have I been spending my time? So yeah, building the team there, obviously what we do at Moreira's Magic, and then launch this new platform, Bolter, which I dare say we'll speak about at the very end. But if you haven't already, check it out, bolter.team. And we're the only ones playing a round zero fantasy comp. So even if you just want to play for one round, jump on round zero and pick all these players who we're so tempted to pick in our real-life classic game, but these early buyers throw on a curveball. Well, this one you can pick Tom Green, Dacos, Gordon, pick them all, and it will be a nice prize for the round zero comp.
Yeah, mate, we'll plug that in a little bit more detail at the end. I'm looking forward to it, especially you look – bit of footy tonight. Tom Green was everywhere early. Goulden just was doing Goulden things. So it's all these picks that we'd love to be able to pick in a normal fantasy game. But unfortunately, there's a little bit more to it with the buys this year, which we will get stuck into. So what I like to do for these, we'll go line by line and we can kind of talk about how we're sort of structuring up and how we're seeing it. So let's start with defense. What are you kind of thinking with the defensive line this year, and how are you looking to structure up?
Good question. Because I started the season thinking that the top-priced defenders, and typically we see those top defenders remain, unlike the midfield, which quite often gets a full shuffle, and someone could go from M1 to M12 or 15 the next year. Quite often, most of that top six stays in defence. And I was looking, and you could mount a case for all of the top six defenders from last year to be fairly priced or even underpriced. Like Dacos, we know that he's a freak going into his third season. He's going to be better again, had that injured game built into him. Sinclair, back half the year when he started playing less in the midfield, when Steele was back, he went 108 back half of the year. Price at 102, went 110 last five when he only had 5% CBA. So it's like, well, if he goes back to halfback flank, what can he do there? Sheasel, second year, you'd think he'd get a boost. So there was an argument. Tom Stewart had that injured game round one, which you know too well, unfortunately. So there was an argument to say that they were all coming in under price. Now we've got this, obviously, the buyer throwing things out, and the Dacos situation is an interesting one, how that's played. The preseason key position injuries to Hawthorn means Sicily might be more defensive, and it doesn't lie the stats, him with or without blank. I think the numbers were, what have we got here? 114 with blank in the side last year and 91 without. I still thought there was going to be a role for Granger Barras, and he'd still be close to that 110 mark than the 100 mark and be value at 105. But now with another injury down, it's hard to start with him. Sinclair sounds like he might even miss round one. So yeah, this top echelon of the D1 lock and load is getting shaky. So then, like, oh, I enjoyed your chat the other day talking about Hayden Young, where I am in that same boat of just having him in the team and not even thinking about him. But maybe he is the one we have to think about, whether you move him up or move him down, because he could be caught in no man's land. But at the moment, I'm still keen enough on that little price point of where him and Yo and that are sitting.
Yeah, so what I'm kind of struggling with, I've always been someone that's liked to put a rookie or two in defence if I can, with, you know, before we had the Dacoses and the Dawsons and these guys that were going 110, typically you would see, you know, your top averaging defenders sort of topping out at 95 to 100, and they weren't really hurting you. They were kind of flat, but with the way fantasy's played these, or not fantasy, sorry, with the way footy's played these days, we're starting to see there's really big scores off the back line. So what I'm struggling with this year is, you know, we're hoping that we get a Nick Caulfield that we can slot in at D6, and we're hoping that Williams gets to the line and we might see him round zero or round one. But we, you know, outside of a Josh Gibkiss, who's not really going to be a scorer, we don't have any rookies that A, we can put on field or even stash on our bench. And what are we going to do if we don't actually get a Nick Caulfield or we don't get a Williams? I think it's really unprecedented what we're looking at in defence this year. Would you agree that?
It is. If Curtin plays, I think he'll be okay. Like, that's where we differ. I listen to you a lot, and I think a lot of the stuff you say I'm bang on with, except you have more faith in these, or we're braver to play these extra rookies. I know that you don't mind rolling out an extra rookie than me, typically, and you typically do that in defence. So normally I do try to strengthen up my back line and not have this the rookie. But as you said, like in, I'm trying to even think who they were in the glory years, whether it was the Murray from Collingwood who came out and averaged 80-odd, and there's always seems to be that
one. Duday come out and averaged close to 70, I think, in his first year. Yeah. So it was a bit different.
There has always been the good one, which, yeah, you're right, there isn't that one this year. But this is where those buys come in. So for, what, four of the first 6 weeks, you might not need that D6 anyway if it's a dodgy one. So my strategy of the past, which is take a haircut on most positions to mean less rookies on the field so you don't have to wear that 40 or 35 even in this D6 position if it's a rookie. But does that matter as much with these early buys? That's what I'm trying to grapple at too. Particularly with Supercoach, like, is it worth paying up for that, having Nick Caulfield as your D6, knowing that, well, you might not count him for four of the first six anyway, you're better off getting that cheaper rookie and then getting another mid-price or elsewhere up to a premium.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether or not Dan Curtin actually makes the squad this week. Kind of seems out of Adelaide that they're kind of, you know, easing him into it. He's had a bit of knee soreness over the preseason, and they see him as a bit of a long-term project for them. So it's going to be interesting to see whether he makes it to round one or not.
I'm not a rookie expert. I'm not a rookie expert, but just one to keep an eye on, Oscar Ryan from Adelaide. A lot of buzz coming from there, from inside Adelaide. There's people saying that this is the best bunch of draftees they've seen, and enough people have spoken about, they really like him. I think he went pick 27 or something in the draft, and numbers are pretty good. I think he had like a couple of scores over 100 in TAC Cup, but keep an eye on him. He'll be the saviour.
Yeah, yeah. We spoke, well, you spoke about some of those top-end guys, but what about these guys that are priced around that sort of 70 to 80 mark? So you're looking at Jordan Clark's a bit of a buzz name at the moment. We've got Kitty Coleman, who he looked good from what I saw today and put up some good scores, and he just seems like he's rolling on from what he did in the final series. One that popped his head up 2 days ago was Christian Salem with a full-time midfield role, which is interesting. Clearly, Clary's going to be back at some point, but there is some midfield minutes up for grabs now that Angus Brayshaw has retired. We've spoken about Elliot Yeo, who I'm very hot on, but what are we thinking about these players? Could you start them all? Would that be too many?
I think if it was no round zero, it'd be a big risk not knowing what their scoring potential is going to be. But the fact that outside of Yeo, the other names you mentioned, and you can throw Zach Williams in that as well, but a Butterick, who you also didn't mention, a Salem, a Coleman, like you'll know what their score is. So it's a much safer one, knowing role, what it's like in the real stuff. We can guess as much as we can. And we do all this research in the preseason and listen to training notes and listen to interviews and watch the match sim. But as you always know, come round one, a curveball's thrown, and you just got to remember that preseason. We loaded up with mid prices. I think it was 2019 or 2021 maybe, where it was the Phillips from Hawthorn and the Degoe in the midfield and Jordan Clark on the halfback flank, and which they were in the preseason. Then come round one, Clark was playing half forward bench, Degoe forward, and Phillips pushed out of the midfield. So the fact that three of those, or lots of those defenders you spoke about, we're going to see what their role is in the real life, what their score is. So then that's built into the next price rise. So I think it's going to actually reduce a lot of the risk of starting those, because you'll know what they're going to do. And if they're no good in round zero, then you might jump to the other one and get away with it, or you go the rookie and step up to a premium.
Yeah, you're dead right. This round zero, definitely a chance for us to watch. Let me just go back to Christian Salem for a second. So hypothetically, let's say he is the M2 behind Viney, because we assume that Petrarca is still going to be in there a lot, but they do like to throw him forward a little bit. When everything's back to normal, say round 3, 4, 5, when Clary's back, he's fully fit and back in the team, what do you think Salem can average as that sort of M4 for Melbourne, if that's the role that sticks?
It's a good question, because I didn't see him as a tackler. I didn't watch this game. I'll try to watch it, at least the shorts of it. But I believe he had lots of tackles, didn't he?
Yeah, 9 tackles.
9 tackles, which is just surprising considering the typical... No, I know his role doesn't normally bring about tackles, that distributor off half-back flank. But obviously, if you can add that to the game, it's going to be a great result. So I haven't actually even considered him playing as a midfielder. Obviously, they played yesterday. I haven't done any adjustments on my end of rankings. But say if all those players are back, is he going to be the M4? Does he go back to the number one defender for a distributor for Melbourne down back, which you know that in the past he scored 3 seasons of 90 and above, which is good enough, I think, this season at that price at 78. So, yeah, again, round zero, we'll be able to get a buff. If he can go 90 in round zero, we know he's going to get an immediate cash jump if he's got that midfield role. So that certainly takes some risk off it. But, yeah, I haven't really digested him in the midfield yet with my calculations.
Yeah. And, yeah, we know Clary's coming back at some point, and who knows, it could be round zero, it could be at the start of the season. But if you do get a clean 4 or 5, 6 weeks with Salem in there, then it could be the perfect trade up to Dacos coming off his bye as well. So there's plenty to think about there.
He'd be the perfect one, because I think the talk pre-season was he was going to play even as a half forward and trying to get his good kicking inside 50 for Melbourne, rather than Oliver Petrarca just sort of bombing it in there, which has been the knock on the D's. So, yeah, he could end up playing that high half forward role, which isn't great for fantasy. But as you said, if after that time come his bye, that's could be perfect time to flick him to a Dacos.
And you are the Freo man, I am as well, but just before we move on to the midfield, Jordan Clark, we've seen Hayden Young, you know, average 88 to 90 in that halfback role for Freo. We know that Luke Ryan, you know, commands a lot of footy back there. Can he go 90 and be a value pick at his price? Because if he goes mid-80s from there, it's a bit of a nothing pick, right? A bit like Andy McGrath last year. You'd assume that he goes better than that, but he's never really averaged above 83 before. Can he do it?
Couple of things on that. Firstly, yes, you are a docker, even though when you came second that season and you registered under a West Coast supporter with a West Coast logo as your banner and you're the highest ranked member. So I went out and got you a signed West Coast Guernsey as the prize, and it took you about a year to come clean, and you said, oh, look, mate, I've just got to let you know I'm not even an ego supporter. So that's the first thing on that. Jordan Clark. Shout out. I think first I heard him floated. I know people have floated him a bit recently, but I reckon Calvin very early in the piece made mention of Jordan Clark, and it makes sense. What, last five last year, which was the last five when Young was moved in the midfield, he averaged 88. Price at 76, 88. I don't think it's going to be a failed pick in the back line, particularly with the likelihood of those top end guys dropping down in price. So I think that can be his floor, 88. And while Luke Ryan demands so much of the ball and distribution back there, he also likes to play a little bit of a 1-2, and he doesn't mind kicking it backwards and sideways and shorts. There's always someone else who bobs up with a decent score. We've seen Brandon Cox get some massive scores last year, which he's out to start the season. No Hayden Young then. Well, I've got him D16 at the moment. He probably needs to bump up a little bit from D16. I think he can push that 90 mark. Jordan Clark, how about you?
Yeah, look, I think there's upside, and I don't usually like picking these players. You know, Brayshaw and Sarong, or Sarong not as much, but Brayshaw loves getting those cheap kicks out of D50 as well. He's always the one hitting up from the kickouts as well. If Caleb Sarong does get a little bit more outside ball, maybe there's a little less there. But yeah, I think there's definite growth from his price. I'm just not sure where it gets to. But yeah, if I've got the cash there and I need it, then he's an option. He's definitely an option.
For a Docker supporter, like 23, he's still so young. Like he should be improving, shouldn't he? Pre-buy 74, post-buy 79, last five 88, coming into his age 23 season. He's showing that high ceiling in the past for those early games for Geelong.
Yeah. As a Docker supporter, though, I also don't want them chipping around the ball as much in the back line as what they have been, and I want them to be able to win a centre clearance too, so the ball's not back there as much.
That's true.
Yeah, interesting watch on Jordan Clark. The unfortunate thing is they play Port Adelaide in Adelaide this week, so I don't think it's going to be a fair reflection of what he scores. And if he does come out and pump out a good score against a team that's hard to score against, I think that's probably going to give the green light to pick him. Let's move into the midfield now. I'm actually struggling with the midfield a little bit. I think you're someone that's never liked to pay up for midfielders. You say that generally you don't start anyone priced over 100 if they're not there to pick, whereas I've been a little bit different in the past. I know when I came second in 2021, I started both McRae and Merritt that were priced at over 110, and it just helped that they both started the season going at 120, and that was the value that I needed. But I'm struggling to see a lot of upside in these guys that are priced quite highly. In fact, I'm actually seeing it. You know, they're either fairly priced or there's reasons that there might be a little bit of regression. So are you against at the moment with what we've got starting up someone around that sort of 110 mark?
Well, I think the last 4 years, the winners have had someone priced 116 plus. So there's certainly definitely room, particularly with this rolling lockouts with the two cracks at the captain. Like, you want to be having someone to nail that 115 plus. So depending how confident we are with a Gorn as captain, there's no one in defence who I think you put the captain on, and there's no one in the forward line you put the captain on. So there is merit to spend up, and you won't find someone who's fairly priced or underpriced. Maybe it's just fully priced for that upside. Like, the issue is you try to think, who is it going to be? Bont, we know it's very hard to back up what they've done in the past, even though he went 123 post-buy. Clary's obviously coming off that pre-season. Zachy Merritt kind of just does Zachy Merritt stuff. I think they're going to try to have him a bit more like Lachie Neale was last year, where they're less reliant on Zach Merritt. So he might sort of, I can't see him getting a big boost. The two obvious ones are the young kids from good, strong teams, being Errol Goulden and Tom Green. But obviously that early buy throws that out of whack. But I dare say if there was no early buy, they'd be pretty nice. If you reckon you started with McRae and Merritt that year, I think you could probably pair that Tom Green and Errol.
Yeah, what about a Rory Laird? There was word out of today that he's going to play a bit more forward. I don't believe that for a second, but I'm always someone that's a little bit skeptical of having or just assuming that you're going to have three players in the same team average, you know, over 100. There's been teams that do it. And we saw last year in patches that Adelaide were able to do it. But even when Matt Crouch came in, we had Dawson regress a little bit. Laird just still did Laird things. I think you put up the stat. I think he was 114 post or the last five or whatever it was, or when Crouch came in. So the scoring's definitely there. But could we be confident that a Rory Laird's going to come out and, you know, go north of that 109 and not be a failed starting pick?
Yeah, I didn't love the quote. That's for sure. I also don't believe it, but why say it? I think they definitely need to get those quicker players in the game, and they obviously want to play Crouch, so they're not going to kick Dawson out the way he's going. So maybe it does make a little bit of sense that Laird, rather than him getting his 82% set of bounces, that might drop to 70%, which, yeah, if he can, if he goes to 70% and averages 105 or 106, then it's not going to be a great starting pick, as you said. But since he's moved in the midfield, when 2020, his average 114, price at 109. I don't know. Laird's currently in my Supercoach team as one of my more expensive midfielders. So I was a believer. As I said, I don't believe it, I also didn't love hearing that quote today on Laird. But I agree with you with that. Certain amount of how much ball can there be to win. I know that they get a lot of stoppages, Adelaide. And it's funny, I remember this time last year, I was talking up Jaeger O'Meara and completely wrong on that. It was one of the biggest fails of last year. And you were like, look, I like O'Meara, but they've got Will Brody's going to go over 100 and you've got Brayshaw is going to go over 100. But then who knew that Will Brody was out? O'Meara didn't get the kick and it was Sarong who was the one who popped up and went. So you're probably right. You want to be one of those top two scorers in their team.
Yeah, I suppose the one thing we can fall back on is that, you know, the Bulldogs, who played a very similar style last year in terms of very, very high stoppages. They had Bont go 117. Treloar was 105, but he was even bigger in the back five games. You had Libba who was over 100. And then you even had McRae, who still didn't have the role but was, you know, mid-90s for most of the season before dropping off for those last two games. So it can be done. If you can find someone elsewhere that isn't from the same team as someone else in terms of, like, I'm thinking of starting a Laird and a Crouch, maybe it's better off to, if I want to start Crouch, to look somewhere elsewhere for Laird just in case.
Yeah, and that's a strategy which I've heard, which is if you think that Crouch is going to have such a big bump and you're worthwhile starting, then it might be coming off Laird. So you probably shouldn't be starting both of them. But I think in their system that they can both succeed. And as I said, on my super coach, I've currently got both of those same players, Crouch and Laird.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about structure then, because I think at the moment there's two different structures that are floating around. There are people that are looking to start the three rookies in McKercher, Sanders and then Sharp if he shows enough against Port Adelaide on the weekend on that wing. Or there's people that are spending down a little bit and looking at more of your Nick Martin, Carl Amon, Matt Crouch, Ollie Wines types, which might be able to stretch out to only have two rookies on field. But how are you seeing at the moment?
I always like reducing those rookies on field, and I like the two of McKerch and Sanders. Sharp showing he can score, but the wing, who knows? I think he's a nice M9. But then Roberts looked okay again tonight from Swans. Does he pop in there? And I think then this is where I'm struggling this year, trying to find the balance between hunting all that value. Like those names you said, they're all going to outperform their price, no question. But you're going to have to spend the money somewhere. We're not spending it in the forward line. We went through the top end of the defenders. I doubt anyone's putting two or three of those expensive defenders in there. And then the rucks are cheap for those who are wanting to pick. So I think that almost forces our hand that it is you can spend up on that and then and have the two rookies on the midfield.
Yeah, especially if we're spending down in the forward line, which we'll actually get to in a little bit when we get down there in terms of what a Flanders did tonight and what his role is going forward. Let's just quickly touch over some of these options that are, you know, at the top but not quite at the top. So you're back on a Jack Steele, the Jack Steele train. You were not negative early in the preseason, but you and Zave were kind of talking through it and wondering whether or not he could get back there. But him being the main guy in the midfield with not a lot of players running through that St Kilda midfield and him looking healthy, you're keen to jump on a Jack Steele?
Yeah, I wasn't keen seeing how, like, Ross Lyon's wanting to get pace in, and even on the off-season, who'd they get? Liam Henry and Riley Bonner and Malira. Like, they're so good to watch. It's funny, it's a bit different to the Dockers we used to watch. And I like the Saints. I've said I haven't liked the Saints for 15 years, whereas this year I think that they're good. And just watching him last year, he was just caught no man's land so many times, and they were moving it quick and less stoppages. It's like, well, maybe it's moved on. He's looking old and slow, but he's 28. I still can't believe how young he is, being 28. Everything went wrong last year in terms of his, what do you have, that AC joint early, came back early from that, did the MCL, continued to play, didn't miss a game with the MCL, and then there was that rumour about his Achilles, had strapping everywhere. So, and he still managed a 98 average. So that's kind of the sweet spot price I typically like to target. And I'll be nice. I didn't watch his practice match last week. It'll be good to see him running around on the weekend, and if he looks like he's covering the ground well enough, because I think he's going to have to cover the ground. He can't just rely on those tackles he has done in the past. I think he should be good.
Yep, no, agree with you there. You were on record earlier in the preseason saying that although you love LDU as a player, you don't necessarily see him as a pure fantasy gun. Think the Nat Fifes of the past that, you know, although they, you know, he won a Brownlow or two Brownlows, but he only ever averaged 105 as his max. You kind of see LDU in that mold?
I do, only because I think the opposition attention should come to him. But you mentioned 105. He went 105 post-buy last year, and he's priced at 97. If he were to go 105, he's not going to be a bad pick. But what did he do? He went 121 from round 17 to round 20. But he's just so good. Like, I love him. He's one of my favourite players in real life. And he doesn't sort of chip around for the easy footy, and he doesn't sort of go backwards when he's got the ball. He just runs straight lines, runs forward. So he's in my team for super coach, but obviously a nice clearance running through inside 50, hits up Larky, gets him 14 points in super coach, only gets you 3 for fantasy. So I think with these other names who are cheaper than him, who I can't see getting the tag, and that's the one thing about Rory Laird, he's not going to get a tag. And I think a few times in the last couple of years I've been a bit scared the tag's going to come because he's been getting these massive numbers. So that's the one tick on Laird. I think teams would be silly not to put extra attention on LDU on every stoppage he goes to.
Okay, I'll put you on the spot then. Who are these players that are cheaper than LDU that you think have the same sort of scoring potential to match it with some of these bigger premiums?
You mentioned Crouch. I wasn't big on him earlier, but same thing. That age 28 season, only Wines is the same. But you've been playing the same time as I have. Like, when we were sort of peaking, these guys were like gun premiums, Wines, Crouch, Jack Steele. And then I just assumed that they were all over 30. I can't believe they're still all 28. So I'd feel safer with a Crouch, even though you've got someone who is borderline 22, particularly if Rankin gets more midfield time, Rochelle comes on, Saligo, Pedler, and you're not going to drop Laird or Dawson compared to someone who, if there was a schoolyard pick, he'd go in the top 5 in the AFL in LDU. I think I'd rather the Matt Crouch, personally.
Let's discuss Ollie Wines a bit, because the Port Adelaide midfield has fascinated me. Zach Butters was someone that I put into my team at the start of preseason, and kind of similar to Hayden Young, I didn't think too much of it, and he kind of got a free ride for a long time. But with Ollie Wines coming back, and I'm not saying Ollie Wines is going to go out and average over 100 and be the main fantasy scorer in that team, but you would have to think if he's in there and he's soaking up 70% CBAs and he's back, you know, not to his prime because he's not going to win a Brownlow, but he's back playing good footy, in that system where they play such a low stoppage game and they just run and gun and they don't score, how can we realistically see Zach Butters go, you know, 107 plus with those points coming from Wines and, you know, Jason Horne Francis improving and Rosie still being Rosie.
Yeah, I don't know if it was you who was saying it, but maybe their style was around the low stoppage and knock it on because they didn't have a good ruck. They were going in there with Finlayson and an injured Scott Lycett. So is that why? Because if you look at their players, like Horne Francis is one of the best clearance players in the comp. Butters is great at his clearances. He doesn't look it because he's so skinny, but he's a great clearance player. I think last year he averaged 4.4 clearances per game and gets a lot more contested possessions than you'd think from someone that size. So how does he get better? Yeah, those metrics don't say that, but the fact he went 110 last five, he's only 23. I can see the attention coming to him, and that's the only reason why I can't see him improving. I think any system, he bobs up for outside marks. He gets in and under and wins contested footy. He kind of has that nice inside-outside blend that I think he certainly can improve if it wasn't for opposition attention.
Yeah. You're warming to the idea of starting an Ollie Wines, thinking that potentially he can go back over 90 and be a decent value option to get our cash rolling to start the year before the premiums start to emerge?
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, no buy and that price. I want to watch him on the weekend and how they all go. But again, like, where's this cash going to be spent if we're taking a haircut on that top end there, top end defenders, midfielders and forwards? Is it an Ollie Wines who priced at 78 and might go in the 90s, or is that where you go, you move someone priced in the 90s up to the ones we spoke about before, the Laird type, so you can put the VC or C on and get that 115 times two instead of having all these players who cap out at the 100 marks. So at the moment, I've got to watch him closely. At the moment, I haven't got Wines in my super coach team, but he's it's between him and Crouch for that position for me.
And just before we move on to the rucks, you're still against starting a Nick Martin, Amon type in the midfield, hoping that they get DPP in round seven. You'd much rather wait for the DPP to actually happen and then look at them if they're a top six.
I'll need to watch both of them, particularly Martin, who two very good judges in JD and then also Tommy, who does a lot of stuff for Supercoach for me. They're both Essendon supporters, and normally, particularly Tommy, he's normally like you are with your own team. You're quite negative about players from your team and you're realistic, whereas he's very bullish on Nick Martin. I heard JD on your chat, bullish as well. So they've obviously watched more of Nick Martin than I have. I keep going back to, but I need to snap out of that, the fact that he never had more than 24 possessions in the waffle. And now we're expecting him to go 105 in AFL, but that's the role and we know he can score. I think he had that patch round 10 to round 15 last year, averaging 113 on the wing, and we know that no one scores on wings, and now he's going to play that perfect role of distribution. So maybe. I've got to watch him. At the moment, he's not on my radar for Supercoach, but, yeah, good judges of Supercoach are putting him straight in there.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about it is Papowski puts out all his worthwhile averages, which coincidentally line up pretty well with what you've preached on your podcast in terms of what players need to average to be successful picks. So Nick Martin, as a midfielder, would need to average over 100 to be a worthwhile pick, but a defender at the same price would only need to go from 85 up to 94 to be a worthwhile pick, and they're someone that's going to be close enough to the top of their line. And if you're swinging him back in round seven, then you know maybe you know if he can get himself to 95, then that's going to be a very good pick. So that's one thing to think about. We're kind of judging him against the other midfielders, but it's only seven rounds, and if he's playing full-time defense and he's going to swing back there, then yeah, I am interested. I do want to see it, but I do know that I think I had a look at the stats last week, and that the Essendon, if you averaged out the top five defenders from each team, they actually had the most points going around, but they then also only had, I think, Mason Redmond be the highest averaging defender at 86. So they're not afraid to share it around back there. So that's probably my biggest flag at the moment.
Yeah, and that's what my flag was as well. Ridley, who I had in Supercoach, he took all the kick-ins and go short. And then I might go to Redmond, who gets it and boots at 60. But that's what Tommy was saying, that Redmond just gets a ball and boots at 60 metres and it goes nowhere when it comes back, or Ridley just plays it far too safe and is a bit slow with his kicks. They need someone to come in there. And I think it was Nick Hind, who was pretty good back end of last year, but he's now playing in the forward line. So I was with you, and especially with Andy McGrath there as well. I got plenty of players who can kick the footy in their back line, but I think they've found a need. So we'll watch it. JD, I swear, did he say 105 at one point on your podcast?
He did say 105, yeah. And he even went on to say that 105 was conservative. He could have even been better. So JD's pegging him to be the D2 behind Dacos.
Yeah. What's the role?
Yeah. Yep. All right, midfield. So let's move on to the rucks. So the talk the whole preseason is that there's three rucks that we need to pick from. We've got Gawn, we've got Grundy, and we've got Cherry. I think if you were hot on Gawn before, like I think a lot of people should be, his role in the game yesterday and how he looks, I think you just absolutely have to lock that in, knowing that also you're potentially going to have a second captain option there that has ceiling of 160 on his day. But Grundy and Cherry. Grundy's the interesting one because Zave's been pretty big on Grundy not having played good football for 5 years and being on a slow decline. And you famously say that he was the one that picked McRae. And from a footy sense, he's pretty good at seeing these players and picking the decline. So Grundy was pretty horrible tonight. He didn't score well, but they did play two rucks and they played a few extra tools as well. So I don't think that's necessarily reflective of how they're going to line up in round zero. And we will get the look, but you know, do we go Grundy or do we go Cherry?
Good question. This is one where I've got, only because there's only a couple options, I'm just going to pass on it just because obviously I've got people who subscribe to the Mirror's Magic site. But Grundy did look poor. It'd be very interesting to see what would have happened if there was no round zero and we only had that performance and score to go off to pick your team next week and how that would go for ownerships, because yeah, interesting. I think he was the highest owned out of the three of them before Gawn's matchup, and I reckon after this weekend he might be the lowest owned. But as I said, I'm just going to pass on that one.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting with that as well, he's always been Big O's bunny. Even 2021, his last year at Collingwood, when he averaged 90, that was down by a game against Brisbane where he scored a 50. I think Big O's always had his measure. So I don't think that's necessarily reflective of how he's going to score during the year, but it's definitely something to think of. Once again, we've all just kind of had him in there with a bit of a free ride, thinking that he's just going to go back to his 100 ways now that he's solo ruck, but maybe Zave's right. Maybe there's a little bit more to it and maybe he's not the smash pick that we think he is. But yeah, we'll skip the ruck. That's fair enough. Then you've got to give me a bit of time in the forwards. Flanders tonight didn't have the role. He didn't get as many CBAs as he did the week prior. And what seemed pretty obvious to me was that Gold Coast under Dimmer, I don't think they're going to be big scorers, especially up there at Metricon, you know, under the slippery footy with the Dew and the way they're going to play under Dimmer. We saw Sexton go big. We saw Powell go big. That's how they play. They chip around in the back line, but then they go and these midfielders don't seem to score. So there's definitely a worry now on Flanders.
Yeah, so in terms of CBAs, if it wasn't for a coaching change, I think that wouldn't impact because he didn't have a heap of CBAs at the back. He was almost better when he came up off from the half forward line and roamed and did exactly what he wanted. 38% he had post buy for his 105 and 32% last five for his 112. So that's not the concern. The preseason buzz, not a concern. You speak to anyone, whether even Dimmer himself, I think he was asked, who would you pick in your super coach? And he mentioned Flanders and everyone's talking Flanders. So yeah, the score was certainly underwhelming, and the fact he was probably the fourth peg in that midfield group was underwhelming. And you're right, like those Richmond days where their midfielders were never scoring much over 90, and your half-backers of a Basher Hawley and a Jaden Short were their big scorers. So is it going to be that? And I think, well, he is bringing their game style. I was listening to them, someone interviewing Noah Anderson, and he was saying how like Dimmer's talking about all this stuff, and Noah's like, oh yeah, that's it. You were doing that against us, you know, like exactly whatever Richmond was doing, they're doing that here. And as you know, the half forwards and the midfielders weren't high scorers. So yeah, it's a concern. We've got this early bye, round zero, sorry, to see. Like if Flanders comes out and goes 110, then you're going to get a nice little price bump. But then you've also got that early bye too. So it's a tough one. I know some people were thinking it's still best 18, don't worry about these early buys, but I still think there's enough players to pick who across all lines where you can let that make the decision for you and avoid these early buy round players.
Yeah, I think this year has a few parallels with how you started back in 2020, and not many coaches would have started this way. You kind of bucked the trend a bit, but 2020 was the year that you started, I think it was five mid-prices in the forward line, right? So you had Brayshaw, Bailey Smith, I think there was a couple others as well. And I think this year, that's what we're going to look at here. If, you know, I'm not confident picking a Flanders. I'm definitely not going McRae off his limited preseason. Taylor Adams, which we haven't touched on yet, who's done a slight medial in this game here. So he's going to be touch and go for round zero. You know, that leaves, you know, starting potentially an F1 that might only be priced in the 70s or maybe even lower. So how do you see that?
Yeah, I've done that before, as you said. And the advantage typically with that is that you get rid of a rookie off your field. So I remember I didn't have Grundy that year, and they played the first game of the season. I think he scored like a 130 or massive round one score, and I didn't have him, but I still was ranked, I think I was ranked 700 or something, or maybe even 200 after round one. So it just shows you don't have to have those top end guys as long as you've got the distribution, because it meant I didn't have the few low rookie scores. The thing with the forward line is that there's some very cheap options which you can fill out your forward line anyway, and happy to have them on the field, whether it's a Lazaro or a Sexton or we'll speak about Harley Reid soon, but even the Geelong mature age rookie, if it's Darcy Wilson from St Kilda, like there's some good rookies in the forward line that the advantage of going these mid prices means one less rookie, but sometimes these rookies here or this year aren't too bad in this position. But yeah, I'm okay with going that mid price heavy, particularly because they've all got upside and the top end guys don't.
I'll get your opinion on some of these players because there's a few floating around. So some of the mid priced options I'm at least looking at, the cheaper guys. So you've got a Jack Billings, who actually looked all right against Carlton. He seemed like he was playing high half forward, but wing at times pushing up. Whether or not that sticks with Hunter coming back at some stage, who knows? But he actually looked all right for his first real hit out in a while. You've got Nat Fyfe, who is playing midfield at Freo, but how his scoring is, we're not too sure in terms of purely being inside and never being a big tackler. One that I'm kind of warming to, and I like the look of, as long as he's best 22 and he's got the role, is Tom Powell. He's always been a scorer. We saw in his first year he burst onto the scene when he did have the midfield role, and he's kind of been pushed out ever since. But he had massive junior numbers, and I think in the right role he could be a decent cash generator for us as well. And then there's James Jordan, who tonight played pretty much the wing in the first half when Adams and those guys were around. But after Adams went down, he saw a bit of a CBA jump in that fourth quarter. And I mean, he was scoring well throughout the game anyway, so that didn't really matter. But how many of these guys can we pick, and who are you interested in?
The riskiest one of all of them is Tom Powell, because as you said, you're not sure he's best 22. He's still pretty expensive at 5'18". He isn't guaranteed, even if he were to play in the midfield, and if he's playing, could he be sub or get subbed out? But they're the ones of, or that year you spoke about all those midfielders where you had to take that punt on the hope that they were going to go and get midfield role. And if they do, they're going to be smash picks. He's the age profile, age 22, that his body's not going to break down on him. And he's going to, if he plays the right role, as you said, he's a big scorer. In June, I think he averaged 119 in Sandford Colts in his draft year. Whereas the other ones are all pretty well established players and they've been, they're ready in the good role. So whether it's a Fifey, but he comes with that injury risk and age risk and rest risk. Billings, who I think he's going to be more outside now than what I initially was interested in him about, but he's, I think he's had those big seasons at St Kilda when he was at high half forward, pushes up, takes lots of marks, kicks the ball, good kick to handball ratio. Out of all of them, I think Jordan's my favourite, but again, we'll see in round zero what he does score, but he's proven before at AFL level, even on a wing, he can score fine, and if he's inside, he can score even better. So he's probably my favourite. Fifey for the role was very good, but yeah, you know full well his injury risk. Tom Powell's the one I really want him to break out, but that's the one where you're almost just going on a hunch if you think he's good, unless we see on the weekend that he's starting midfield rotation, because what at the moment LDU is definitely going to be in there. Wardlaw, when he's healthy, is definitely going to be in there. Does Sim can chop out a little bit? Maybe not. Lazaro, they've been talking up him all preseason, so maybe he is the fourth midfielder, and if that's all he needs. I know we spoke about the midfield group, that you don't want your player being the fourth rotation or Flanders, but if Tom Power's the fourth man in the midfield rotation and gets his 55% centre bounces, then I think he could be the best of the lot of them.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different when you're picking your player as the fourth mid and you need him to go from 90 to 100 plus when he's 50, priced at 55 or whatever it is, and can go, you know, 75, 80. I think it's a little bit different, but he probably fits the mold of your strategy, of your Tarantos, Olivers of the past, where you just don't start them, but if round one rolls around and they've got the role and they really look good, then you're more than happy to jump on there. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I haven't got the price predictor here, but I do love how fantasy players move price from round one or from the first game, whereas that's the knock on Supercoach, is that they're complete free hits. You see the first two rounds of them and the prices don't move, and then you can do your trades up to three trades with boosts and get onto someone and before they even move in price. But fantasy, it's good that you are going to pay the premium, but I'd rather pay that small premium for a bit more security and certainty. So you can, at that price point, yes, he's going to go up in cash if you punch out a 90, 85 in round one, but I'd rather pay that extra price knowing that he's had that ability. And that's why this round zero is such a free hit for those Sydney, Melbourne, Gold Coast players, because you get that without having to waste a trade on them. You can start with them knowing you're going to get that price built into it.
You touched on him before we finish off. So Harley Reid, what are you thinking with Harley Reid? Because we don't like to put too much weight into these preseason practice games. These ones this weekend, the more official ones, we like to look at for more role clarity and more of a real hit out. But practice games, we don't generally take too much out of, other than our players are fit and healthy. But he looked a bit of a step off it in his first real sort of hit out for the Eagles.
Looked a couple of steps off it. And everyone, well, anyone astute always says, which is true, he's going to be a high impact player. He's not going to be, he's not a McKercher. He didn't get 40 possessions in juniors. I think he got one ton last year in the Coates League, I think it was called last year. So he's certainly not an accumulator. But then you hear people from West Coast who are close to him who are saying that if they had to rank their players, not on potential, but on this year, he'd be top five. Like he's stepping right into one of their best players already. And I dare say that's a bit of an indication on where West Coast are at. But they're buying into the hype and they've seen a lot of him at training. So as it stands, I've got him in my super coach and I doubt I'm going to move him. I don't mind your theory of putting him on the bench, even though he's an expensive bench option. I think we might have that extra funding this year to do that, because we're taking haircuts elsewhere. And if he performs, you get the cash gen, and it only would be 1 or 2 weeks before you're going to have to have players on their bye, and you'll be able to get him on the field anyway with people on their bye, like a James Jordan or whoever it is. So you still will use him, but you don't have to take that risk in round one of having him on the field, because I know one of your good strategies is jumping off the highly owned players before the rest. And if Harley Reid does get a 30 or 40 in round one and you haven't got him on your field, then that could be a great way to get the kicker.
Yep. Yep. Beautiful. All right. Before we wrap up, can you just give us a little bit more of an in-depth plug on your new fantasy game? Because I'm really keen. I haven't looked into it as much just yet, but I'm keen to get a bit of an insight from you of what it's going to offer and how it sort of differs from the fantasy game we normally play.
Yes. So Bolter, it's called, and the domain is bolter.team. And it's come about, we started the AFLW fantasy a couple of years ago before there was the one for the official one. So we've kind of had the tech built for running a fantasy comp. There's probably no urgent need for a second or third comp, including fantasy, or fourth comp, including real DT. But the plan is to evolve it into a draft, a more customized draft platform, which I think there is a need for, whether that is one where you can trade future picks in keeper leagues, or if you can do auction drafts or category leagues. So we've got some plans for that. But to get to that stage, we needed to, we need things such as DPPs and flexible scoring and stuff like that, which we're going to need for Classic anyway. So we've got ourselves as Classic products. We thought, why not just roll it out, particularly this year when there's so many different things going on in the main game, where we can sort of differentiate and try to make it a little bit less consuming way to play fantasy. And whether it's with the fixed lockouts being on a Saturday, so you'll know the teams come Friday teams and put your team in and not have to worry about your loopholes or your bench swaps or laid outs or subs. We've got or in real life AFL, if someone gets an early injury, then that team subs on someone else. So why not in fantasy? So we've got it. If you've got a player who plays less than 40% time on ground, you'll get your emergency score if that emergency is higher. So no need to worry if your player on a Sunday becomes the sub and plays less than 40% time on ground, you'll get your emergency score anyway. The positions, we've chucked in some flexibility, again, trying to be like real life AFL, where a real life team have to pick six defenders each week, one ruck, five mids and six forwards, and then there's four sitting on the bench who can be from anywhere. So we've kind of done the same, where you've got to pick the 6-6-6 and then four players you can pick from any position. So come round one, you can start Sherry, Gorn, Grundy, even Soldo, pick four bent four rucks on your field, so be it, if you want. So it's starting off in round zero, so you'll be able to pick all those players we spoke about, where the hesitation is that early buy, Dacos, Goulden, Tom Green, Sexton, all these players. And then after round zero, which we're going to have a bonus prize, I'll announce it soon, but it's going to be significant enough for hopefully people, if they don't want to juggle multiple teams, they can just play that one round zero and then give up on it. But those who want to play the full season can do it. It's unlimited trades up until round one. So you can then pick your team, and we've done it in a way where the pricing is different, but you can still fit your existing official Classic team into our salary cap. So you can even run the exact same team across both formats. And if you had something like a Callum Mills of last year, a three, and they were your captain, all of a sudden this is a bit of a backup where you won't get that three, you won't get that captain score, your vice captain kicks in if it has less than 40% time on ground. So it's an evolving product. I'm pretty happy with how it's currently looking and operating. We've come a long way from the finals footy fantasy in 2022 we run, but we've got big ambitions for making some new fun products going forward, particularly around the draft space, or even maybe it could be these 1 week comps like this round zero, where you've put so much time and effort, which I do too, into your Classic team. Sometimes it's good having a little side thing just to run one without much pressure and have a crack at it.
Yeah, mate. Sounds elite. Just on that round zero, so you've got a full salary cap, so you need to pick a team from round zero players inside of your normal salary cap before you then pick a team in round one.
Yep. So salary cap in this game, and again, we've made it a bit more simple, where the salary caps are 1.75 mil, which if you divide the salary cap of the real life AFL by the magic number, it becomes 1.75. So essentially, everyone's price is what they're priced at. So Tim English averaged 118.7 last year. He's 118.7K. So it's quite easy to work out what someone's priced at and if they're good value or bad value, that $557,000 or whatever it ends up being. So you have to fit your round zero team in that salary cap, and then the prices will move after round zero. So you might not be able to build the exact same team as your classic, but hopefully you'll pick players in your round zero, which will either hold price or go up in price, and you might be able to fit in a bit more in this one than your classic. But yeah, I encourage everyone to at the very least to check out the platform at bolter.team, give some feedback and throw in a team for this round zero, because I think that'll be a bit of fun. And then if you like it, enjoy it, we've got leagues, so you can, if you want to play purely for leagues and you've got some people who run the loopholes and run the laid out, so they're all over it and typically they get the favor, you might want to run your leagues through this comp because they're fixed lockout and a bit more customization.
And where can the listeners go to find your season guide for this year that is once again looking absolutely elite and a must-have?
It's no longer a must-have because there's so much good content out there. I do say that. But mareresmagic.com.au, or you find us on Twitter, and the link's on the bio. And yeah, check it out. When we first started, there was not a heap of content out there, so I think it was almost that. But now, as I said, with such good content out there, you certainly don't need it. But we try to make it like you do, and unfortunately you've lost old Dossie there because he was big on that too. But we try to make it a bit more of an entertainment piece as well, where hopefully people actually, you're not just getting the advice, which you can get other places too, but you're also getting some enjoyment out of it as well.
Yeah, beautiful, mate. Well, thank you so much for jumping on. I really appreciate your time, and I'm looking forward to hearing your last few chats with Zave as we close in on round zero and really tackling this fantasy season that we haven't seen before. It's going to be good.
Cheers, Holmesy, and all the best. I've enjoyed your content all pre-season. Sad to see Dossie go, but you've got a great team there. I've loved listening to Stato and Big Army, so keep it up.
No worries, mate. Thanks again, and we'll chat soon.
Cheers, mate.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.